Good morning, Your Honors.
Okay, counsel, and if it may please the court. Your Honors, this case presents a fairly unique situation in drug sentencing.
I don't think unique allows degrees. It is either unique or it isn't.
Okay. But the situation presented is not one that is typically before this court as far.
Then you mean unusual.
It is unusual, Your Honor. So, but in the normal case, you will have a quantity of drugs, and the determination is how do we determine a reliable drug quantity figure to sentence the defendant on. This case presents a situation where the negotiated amount, other than the 493 grams we stipulated to, the negotiated drugs were pills. They were legal substances that would be precursors to make methamphetamine. So then the question must become, for Mr. Bautista, what quantities of drug figures would he be responsible for? And with that determination, you have to make some sort of calculation as to how much methamphetamine would be produced by the precursor drug. And this is a very important determination to be made by the trial court, and it is not just, well, what would they hope could be made? This court, over and over again, in Biquette, DePriest, Young, and other cases I cited, have stressed the importance of the trial court coming up with a reliable drug quantity figure pursuant with due process. In this case, the court did not come up with any drug figure at all, much less one that was reliable. So the issue is going to become, because the defendant was not the cook, he was not the leader, etc., the question is going to become, we're not challenging the fact that he is responsible as far as guilt or innocence for his part in this conspiracy, but the question is, what sort of drug quantities was he responsible for? And the guidelines indicate you must look to reasonable foreseeability. But before one can determine whether a drug quantity figure was reasonably foreseeable, wouldn't due process require that the trial court first determine what that quantity figure is? And in this case, that was not done. I'm saving for rebuttal, unless Your Honors have questions, the exact figures that were thrown about in the state's brief, and I'd be happy to address that in rebuttal.
Rebuttal argument is for matters in rebuttal. If this is a subject you want to raise, you should raise it now, because otherwise there may be nothing for you to rebut.
That's fine, Your Honor. I can address it now, then. It's a little bit difficult to determine what the state is relying upon as far as a drug quantity figure.
What the United States is relying on.
I'm sorry, the United States, Your Honor. Sorry. Houston State Court. And we can look to some of those figures. Well, first we look to what was presented at trial. And the government attempted to establish a drug quantity figure through DEA agent Kreft. And when they did that, there was objection by defense counsel and voir dire. And after that voir dire, it was determined that there was no basis or foundation laid for determining any drug quantity of methamphetamines. Objection sustained, moved on. Well, at sentencing, there was no further testimony from the agent or the forensic, any sort of forensic analysis. Even the lab report itself was not introduced into evidence, as if that would be sufficient, and it is not.
Well, that pre-sentence report had information.
Well, Justice, you're correct that there was a pre-sentence report in this case, and certainly that's something a court can rely on. But the pre-sentencing report submission indicated the drug quantity figure was between 500 grams and 1,500 grams, and which obviously the government itself conceded as brief is confusing. They don't know where they came up with that figure. And certainly the judge himself did not say that he was relying on that figure. The government also looks to the lab report. And first of all, I don't think we could take that into consideration because It was not part of the record, and the judge did not note that in his findings. But even if you do look to those figures, and this is where the math gets complicated, you have to look to the Eichmann case, to determine how do we determine reliable drug quantity yield figures, because in that case, even after expert testimony, this court found that at best, these clandestine labs can only have drug quantity yield figures of between 40 and 60%. And if you apply the math to the grams that were noted in the lab report, that would be below the level 36 indicated.
What percentage of, we'll call it, ability or success would have to be for whatever it is, what the 8 point, I forget the amount of the pills that they attributed, the 12 pounds or whatever it was. That was 100% or something, right?
Well, I'm not sure if the government is saying it was a 92% yield figure or 100% figure, depending on which figure they use, the 9,000 some gram figure or the 8,000 some gram figure. It's unclear to me. But either way,
what percentage of ability would this crew have to have in order to get to the 5,000?
Well, that's the point, is we don't know because there's nothing in the record that would indicate that. And if you look at the Eichmann case, at best, these sort of clandestine labs can yield 40 to 60%. We don't know what sort of capabilities this lab had, especially when you consider that the cook in this case claimed in a separate appeal that he wasn't even a cook, that he was faking this the whole time.
Wasn't there testimony that they could cook? The cook estimated the yield would be approximately 12 pounds or 5.45 kilos of methamphetamine?
Yes. The testimony was that there was a negotiated amount of 150,000 pills, and he estimated that could be 12 pounds, which would yield a figure of
5.45.
However, there is absolutely no reliable evidence that that is a reliable figure, much less reasonably foreseeable to the defendant, especially when the government's own other submissions seem to contradict that that's even an accurate figure. And I think the government is under some sort of obligation to present evidence that was not just mere speculation on their part. And I will save the rest for rebuttal.
From the counsel.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. The question before you today is whether the district court was clearly erroneous in its decision that Rogelio Bautista would be responsible between 5 and 15 kilograms. I'd like to jump right into the way that the district court calculated that and how it could have been calculated. There were many sources of how the amount of methamphetamine that could be made. First of all, and let's not forget, 493 grams, almost half a kilogram, was delivered by the defendant himself on September 24th of 2004. Then we also have a meeting on January 4th of 2004 between Roberto Lopez, who is one of the heads of the organization, with the case agent who was acting in an undercover capacity. During that conversation, this high-level methamphetamine trafficker says, "We're going to make about 12 pounds with the 150,000 pills that you give us." Mr. Lopez says that not in the presence of Mr. Olivas Ramirez, who is the cook. And I'd like to briefly comment on that. Mr. Olivas Ramirez did have an appeal based primarily on whether he had met the safety valve when he lied about being the real cook. The district court found that he was lying, that he was a real cook. I believe even Judge Rovner in the case on appeal said, "It sounds to me like this particular defendant is the Charlie Trotter of methamphetamine making." And the court determined that he was
people properly licensed under the state licensing laws for restaurateurs.
I'm sorry?
You need a license to be a cook in Illinois, you know.
Well, I'm not sure that this particular organization was concerned about licenses or the laws. However, along with the January 4th, 2005 discussion, then we also have methamphetamine that was found in Chella's basement, where the methamphetamine was going to be, well, the pills were going to be soaked. 16.6 grams of liquid, an additional 372.6 grams could have been made from the pseudoephedrine residue there. Now, I would like to briefly touch on the expert. The expert was called to testify, and throughout the voir dire questioning of Mr. Collins said, well, I can't tell you exactly the amount. And at that point, he tried to offer his opinion as to a practical amount that would have been made, but the district court denied him that opportunity. So then we look to what Mr. Olivas Ramirez, the Charlie Trotter of cooking, methamphetamine cooking, said in the warehouse on January 24th of 2005. If you'll review the transcript, this gentleman...
You may want to avoid that lest Mr. Trotter bring a defamation action against Judge Rovner.
Certainly.
I want to encourage
this. I'll just say that he's an expert cook. He goes around this warehouse, and you'll review this from the transcript. He talks about particular ventilation and specific beakers he needs, numbers of coffee pots, the chemicals, that he's made this before, and all of these things occur. This was an organization absolutely capable of making a large quantity of methamphetamine. We know that because not only did they have this warehouse, or so they thought, they had an experienced cook, they had all of the other ingredients necessary to produce the methamphetamine, iodine, acetone, and other ingredients that are necessary for its production. And we also know, based on the amount of methamphetamine in Chella's basement, that they had done this before. So knowing all that, who is in the best position to know what kind of methamphetamine quantity is going to be made? The cook, Mr. Olivas Ramirez. And the transcript of the conversation in the Bonfield warehouse goes on at length about how much are you going to be able to make. And Mr. Olivas Ramirez says, you know what, at best 12 pounds. I think I can get about 12 pounds. And as Your Honor pointed out, that's 5.5 kilograms, 2.2 pounds in a kilogram. But that's not including the half kilogram that was delivered on September 24th of 2004. That's not including the amount that was already soaking in the basement. So even when you're looking at his best estimate, which under Eshman they say, you know, approximately 40 to 60% is our guess, Mr. Olivas Ramirez said 12 pounds, which was 63%. So even if you want to give the defendant here a break and you cut off a kilogram, we would still be looking at between 5 and 15 kilograms. The district court had all of this evidence before it, and it also had the pre-sentence report. It also had statements from government counsel of what the lab report said. The lab report, and this is in the record, indicates that 9,388 grams of pseudoephedrine was found as delivered to the defendants. The yield from that, the theoretical yield, was 8,637 grams. Of course, that would be over 8 kilograms. And the government concedes that that's a theoretical yield. It's probably a bit high. But based on the totality of all of these circumstances, and specifically the statements of Roberto Lopez, the head of the methamphetamine trafficking organization, who had, by all accounts, done this for quite a while, along with the statements of the expert cook, this organization intended to make 12 pounds. That was clearly foreseeable to Mr. Bautista in particular, based on the fact that he was around at every important meeting. He was around for the delivery of the 493 grams of methamphetamine. He was present at the January 4th, 2004 meeting at a Portillo's restaurant. He was present at the warehouse, and he was the one who, once the undercover officers delivered the five boxes containing 30,000 pills each, was taking them down to the basement. So it was absolutely reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Bautista. I do want to point out to the court that the Eshman case was different from the case at bar. In that case, the district court had no evidence before it regarding the capability of of the defendants, the capacity that they had to produce methamphetamine. In this case, we have all, I believe, that the court could want. There were all of the implements required, all of the personnel required to make the most methamphetamine that they could. In appellant's brief, they go on a lot about talking about how the district court did not make a specific finding as to the drug amount. And I want to remind this court, specifically United States versus James 113 F3rd 721, a drug quantity may be based on estimates. Mathematical absolute precision is not required. And Judge Holderman, on page 17 of the government's brief, talks about why he finds a level 36 between 5 and 15 kilograms of methamphetamine. And some of the things he notes are that he believes that the conspirators would have attempted to use their best efforts. They wouldn't have, you know, tried to waste any methamphetamine. He also stated that he considered the precursor ingredients and the amount of those. He also talked about the 493 grams that he was taking into account. And finally, what he believed after hearing trial testimony and four separate days of sentencing testimony, what would be reasonably foreseeable to Mr. Bautista. And if the court doesn't have any further questions.
The only thing I would add is it seems that Bautista never says anything. And I know the issue of minor, haven't discussed that here, but he wasn't given the minor participant, but he just seems to be a guy that stands around. Now, I don't know if there's any more than that in the record.
It's interesting. Mr. Bautista is what appears to be a very quiet individual. He is always present with Mr. Lopez at the important meetings, but he doesn't say much. The court noted when it was sentencing Mr. Bautista that the court had an opportunity to watch the video of the meeting at the Bonfield warehouse. And although Mr. Bautista didn't say anything, he actively looked around the warehouse. He was inspecting, engaged in an active participation in looking at the warehouse. What was interesting, though, the communication that Mr. Bautista had with the agents was when the pills are being delivered to Chella's basement. The defendant and Mr. Roberto Lopez are present. Mr. Lopez comments on how easy it's going to be to destroy all of these bottles. They can just light them on fire and they'll be gone. And the agent says, well, that's a lot of work. It's a good thing you have Mr. Bautista to help you. And Mr. Bautista looked at the agent and smiled. And
all these conversations are in Spanish, I presume. Right?
Yes, they are. A smile, though, I think is pretty universal.
Well, I know, but he's got to understand what he's smiling about.
Right. There's no evidence that the defendant did not understand what was taking place. And just to expound just very briefly on the minor participant, you know, since Your Honor brought it up, this is a person who is entrusted with the 493 grams of methamphetamine on September 24th of 04. The defendant drives his car, well, a white car with a hidden compartment in it, to the drug deal. He's the one who opens the compartment for the drugs to be taken out. He's the one who receives $1,000, along with the other actions that I've described, I believe.
Counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Anything further, Mr. DeVore?
I'll just address
that. 2 minutes.
I'm sorry?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? All right. Thank you. Counsel indicated they used the words could have been several times in their argument, and I think that's the best that they can come up with is could haves in this case. The government cites to Eshman and says that this case is much different because in this case there were instrumentalities found that would indicate that they were part of a manufacturing process. But that also occurred in Eshman as well. And if anything, Eshman had much more reliable evidence before the court than the one here, because we have no evidence regarding the drug yield figures in this case. The government also indicated that Olivas Ramirez was in the best position to come up with a yield figure, and they calculated that yield figure at 63%. Well, that would contradict the government's own admission in the Eshman case that at best or the normal clandestine operation only gets a 40 to 60% yield, which would beg the question, would not Olivas Ramirez have some sort of incentive to pump up this yield figure because he wants to sell his drugs? And I think as far as with the mitigating role, Mr. Bautista was very quiet, and the government cannot indicate any actual actions that he did
including even the opening up of the glove compartment, because that was the Luis who did the actual drug transaction in this case, other than sort of being along for the ride, and that's what I cited the Hunt case for. I thought it was similar to the Hunt case as well. With that, unless Your Honors have any other question, I would rest.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.